brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
No, we're not. Hogan's Heroes, man. Hogan's Heroes.
Well, nothing's better than Hogan's Heroes.
Yes, that's what's up.
I mean,
streaming services, Bob, you always forget about them.
You know, what can I tell you? I like anything that's Hogan's Heroes. But, you know, that's just me. You can't go by me. So, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are good old boy Harm.
Well, thank you, Bob. I enjoy being here. It's a pleasure to be in the basement and drinking wine.
Wine?
Wine.
Wine.
Is this an Alabama show? Or
isn't it always?
Always. Yeah. Roll Tide.
I don't know about that.
Oh, my God, no. I'm sorry. We're banned in Alabama, and Mike is going to kick me off the show now.
No, we'll just do it for
good
him.
Good old boy Mike is a Tennessee fan, so my wife regularly taunts him.
Nice.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Another exciting day in the basement with some crushed up grapes.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Always good to be here among the vines and the wine guys.
The wine guys?
Okay. The wine guys.
We'll take that. Well, this is a Sips episode, and our Sips segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, whiskey, and pretty much anything else you can drink. And today,
the last time we did a coffee show, Bob?
You're not on them. They do them all the time.
I don't do them because I don't drink coffee.
Well, they don't do them because they don't like you.
Coffee is... No, man. Tea is where it's at. Earl Grey, hot.
They don't like you. That's why they don't do it. So here's the wines we're going to be discussing today. So from Scharfenberger, we have the Brut Excellence and the Brut Excellence Rosé. From Roeder Estate, we have the Brut Rosé and the L'Hermitage Brut 2015. Champagne Telmont Brut Reserve. And from En Route, we have the Russian River Brumaire Chardonnay 2019 and the Russian River Le Palmier Pinot Noir 2018. So... pretty decent lineup, I'd say. So let's have Justin tell us all about our Sip Sips.
One sip. Gag me with a spoon and a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
I think you just did gag me with a spoon.
Oh my God, you did it.
Oh my God.
Before the show started, I said, I need California and French together.
Wait, what's this? That's just creepy.
Two sips.
Maury, what are you putting it here? L'Hermitage.
Nice. But what else do you have? This is grody. Grody to the max. For sure.
Oh, he brought it today.
I just threw up my mouth a little.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again? It's so absolutely tubular, man.
I already played the sound. I'm just trying to make it go away.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another and hide it from Bill.
That's classified.
I think you need to work a dispensary in there somewhere.
Five sips. I was unaware anything could be this good like a Heaven Hill.
What?
Distillery. Did you say dispensary?
I said dispensary.
Oh. I don't know is it dispensary is because I'm on probation.
My goodness. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know all the strains of pop, but I've heard of Northern Lights.
Okay. Yeah, straight into the toilet went with that. So good Lord, let's try.
How would you say that with a French accent? Northern Lights?
Yeah, Northern Lights.
Lights. That's French Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. When you add an A to the end, that is definitely Canadian. I'm sorry. All right. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do our first one. So let's
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
Well,
is that the Need More Cowbells guy?
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
What? Hey, hold on.
I would be devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass
you of have
fine
to,
champagne.
And that's his regular accent. I don't think he's thinking that up. I think that's just how he talks.
That's
just Christopher Walken. So, all right. Take it away, Maury.
Thank you, sir. Scharfenberger Cellars was founded in 1981 by John Scharfenberger in the heart of Mendocino's Anderson Valley. With the coastal influence from the nearby Pacific Ocean. Scharfenberger Cellars enjoys sunshine and cool breezes within the protected Anderson Valley. In 2004, the winery entered a new chapter as a member of the Roederer Collection, and with the winemaker Jeffrey Jindra, continues to craft sparkling wines that showcase the Mendocino County terroir.
Hogan's Heroes, right?
Yeah. Every bottle of Scharfenberger Cellar sparkling wine is individually fermented using the time-honored practice of the traditional method Champenois process, whereby the wines are individually bottle fermented before being riddled and then disgorged. Approximately 80% of their wine undergoes malolactic fermentation. This secondary fermentation converts the tart malic acid to soft and creamy lactic acid. This technique is a signature of the Scharfenberger style and contributes to the rich and creamy texture of their wine. Every year, through fractional blending, Scharfenberger adds reserve wine during the blending process. On average, 12% of reserve wine is added to their non-vintage blends to create a consistent flavor profile. Our first wine from Scharfenberger will be the Brut Excellence from Mendocino County, coming in at 12% ABV. The Brut is a blend of 60% Chardonnay and 40% Pinot Noir grapes, sourced from Scharfenberger's own 120 acres of vineyards, as well as select vineyards belonging to trusted growers in Mendocino County. Aged a minimum of 2 years on the lees before being riddled, disgorged, and topped off with the desired dosage and aged under the cork for 6 months. Okay, so let's talk about the wine. The wine is a beautiful, very pale yellow color.
Straw.
Thank you. Pale straw. On the nose, you definitely get a lot of yeast. You get notes of bread.
What are you doing with the computer, man?
None of your business.
Stop touching buttons.
None of your business.
He did not deserve that little sparkly tone.
None of your business.
He wasn't sparkling yet.
Thank you. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's bright on the palate. It's got some nice acidity. It's got a medium finish. I think it's a very nice wine. I think you could make this an all-day sipper at the pool. I think it's light. It's refreshing. It's not overly complex, but I think it's enjoyable. Harm?
You know, Maury, when I first tasted this wine, I was not impressed at all. I don't know. I don't think we served it too cold, but I just felt it was too muted.
I agree. And it's gotten better with time and air.
So much better with air and just warming up closer to about 60 degrees rather than 54 or 45. I'm spilling wine now. Anyway, it's got a beautiful straw color. I get yellow grapefruit on the nose, melon. There was a lot of apple earlier, green apple. Now it's like light lemons. I don't know if there's a hint of like, you know, just tart peach. The mousse is very light. It's not overly bubbly.
How's the squirrel?
There was zero mousse and squirrel?
Mousse and squirrel. Oh, yeah. Must do get no, mousse
no
and squirrel, squirrel.
No squirrel. There was no finish when I had it cold, but now that it's warmed up to a little bit warmer than you'd normally serve champagne, it's a medium finish and I'm really enjoying it.
It got better, but I just find it very uninteresting.
Well, so does your wife. I mean, I'm not talking about the champagne.
Yeah, well, if it's too cold, it shrinks.
That's what like a personal problem. That's what he keeps telling her, but yeah, she ain't buying it.
Sounds like a
he lives in Florida.
Problem.
You know, cold days, 60.
I really enjoy this as it warms up, and I'm. I was, I was not impressed at first, but now it's actually gotten quite nice. Mm-hmm. Justin, what do you think?
So, the creamy vanilla mint on the nose and on the palate. I got cream soda with white melon.
Zero vanilla mint. What the hell is that?
Vanilla and mint, not vanilla mint.
Creamy vanilla mint. Open your ears.
Creamy, vanilla. Thank you. Mint.
Yeah. Creamy, vanilla, mint. Yeah.
Right. Not creamy vanilla mint. Oh, that'd be interesting. I got cream soda on the palate and
seriously?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had a cream soda?
It's been the last couple of months I had one.
I'm married to an Alabama girl. We've got cream soda in the house.
This of course, it was not definitely like diet cream soda, so that could be.
It's Alabama. You got mayonnaise.
Regular
you have mayonnaise in the house. Who are you kidding?
Oh no, dude, we have we have three brands of mayonnaise in the house. Yes,
mayonnaise.
Wow. What's your favorite brand of
mayonnaise and banana sandwich.
We're miscegenated. Yeah. I'm taking your women.
What's your favorite brand of mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Seriously, it's Kraft. I don't. I'm not. Kraft? I'm not down with this Hellman's.
No.
Even though the Southerners. No, Kraft, man. No. Kraft mayo. No.
There is one mayonnaise. It's Duke's. And that's it.
That's my wife's.
It should be Duke's.
You are Alabama now. Now all you are Alabama. All right. That's what's happening.
Say the right thing. Say the thing I want you to say.
Denim.
The finish was light. What did you think, Maury?
I agree. A short finish. To
Maury
me,
this was first. Remember,
this is a poolside quaffing wine.
Yeah, I agree.
I wish I was at the poolside quaffing it right now instead of sitting with you, Surly.
I know exactly. What the? Excuse me. What are we doing in here?
Where's the orange juice? Can we make a mimosa?
Oh, there
this
we
is,
go.
This is
that's a
this
good
is
idea.
Mimosa wine.
Yeah. This is way better than using a prosecco. For a mimosa, I would go here.
Yeah.
Much better than a prosecco. I mean,
do what he said.
Yeah, well made. It's got a nice crisp nose on it. It's clean green apple.
What's it cost?
It's in the 20s, like 22.
I like it. We'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just wrapping it up on the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence. It's got a nice creamy palate to it. I get a lot of crisp apple and a little bit of pear on it. It's got a, you know, got a clean finish. Not particularly long, but a nice clean finish.
Well, yeah, overall, Justin going nice. On about the vanilla. The vanilla's there, but it's not that much.
No.
He doesn't know the difference between vanilla and chocolate.
Cream soda is vanilla.
Oh, believe me, I know the difference between vanilla and chocolate.
Yeah.
I do.
Is this a sexist thing? What's going on here?
No. I just...
We're talking about chocolate and vanilla.
No, he likes them both. He goes, yeah, I'm just saying.
He goes both ways?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just well, learning anyway. All about me today.
Yeah.
Risque.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to try and get this back out of the gutter. So the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence, we're going to give a solid 3 sips. So let's move on to our next one. We're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So now we're going to talk about the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence Rose. It's like French and German.
It's rosé.
That.
Yep.
Mendocino County. It's 12.5% alcohol by volume. The Scharfenberger Brut Rosé Excellence is made from 55% Chardonnay.
You know what? They left the accent mark off the E, so this would be rose. Screw you. It's not rosé. It's rose.
I'm ahead of my time. And 45%.
That's American.
America.
That's American sparkling wine.
45% Pinot Noir, The fruit balance and color are achieved by adding 4 and 5% of Pinot Noir wine to the blend before undergoing a second fermentation in the bottle. The color, it's rosy.
It's a pale pink.
The nose is creamy.
Very pale.
I got notes of broccoli and light grapes.
What?
Yep. There's an herbal
chopping broccoli.
Green broccoli. Note to it, but it's not broccoli. But
what,
that's just nuts.
What veggie is it?
It's the green part of the strawberry.
Okay, very good. I've never eaten that, so I'm going to defer to you.
Just, you've never eaten a whole strawberry, just gotten great from the leaves?
I've always pulled that green part off.
Yeah, like normal people.
Philistine. Enjoy the whole strawberry.
He's the chicken with the bone,
too. I just saw this BBC show about these $200
when you eat shrimp, that outside crunchy part's supposed to come off.
That explains a lot.
You know, I hate that when you get shrimp and grits and they leave the tails on.
Yeah.
What's going on with these people?
Why don't they do the work for you? Well, isn't that why you're going out?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I've never had that happen, so I guess they're just doing it to you.
No.
Yeah. Nobody leaves the tail and the shells on in shrimp and grits.
Yeah. There's a bunch
unless, of course, you're serving hard meat. Unless, of course, they see him sitting at the table and they go, oh, not peeling
not
anything
the legs,
for this guy.
Just the fantail. Shouldn't do that.
So the palate, I got fruity and woody on the side palate, and it was pretty light.
Let me get this right. It's woody and tastes like broccoli.
Yes.
Okay.
It smells like broccoli and it tastes woody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My bad.
Wait, you said you had a woody. I didn't realize you were talking about the taste.
When you say it tastes woody, are we talking like
that going?
Woody Harrelson or like Woody Guthrie?
Let's just retest it.
Okay.
You're upsetting me now.
Smell the broccoli. Okay. The wood's gone after air. So that must have been a pre-air note. And the finish was quick, and now it is not that quick. It slowed down after
less
air.
Quick. Finish less quick.
That's what Harm's wife has tattooed.
It's like two people that don't need to go to
she has that Harm's tattooed on less her arm.
Usually, actually, it's usually, are you done yet? Are you done yet?
We have a pill for that less quick.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Harm was complaining to you that you didn't have a coupon for him this time.
Oh, Publix Pharmacy has them half off right now. Mm-hmm. Generics.
And you just told the entire world that. Good for you.
You're Dude, this is why there's STDs in nursing homes.
Because there's a coupon?
Because there's a coupon.
Yeah. At Publix. Definitely in South Florida.
Well, this is, I enjoyed this one. You know, for the money, it's a very serviceable sparkling wine. Very, very pale salmon color. It's a little bit tart, a little bit fruity. I don't get any broccoli. Where the hell that comes from? I think this one definitely got better as it warmed up a little bit. I think we had it too cold. Harm?
Okay, pale pink color.
Fine, we'll skip you.
That's light fine. Melon. I got strawberries. The green part. The strawberry, white pepper on the nose, the palate's raspberry. Let's see. A little bit of light cherry. Good acidity, medium finish. Interesting wine. And for the price, great.
Yeah.
And let me say, the acidity carries through. It's like a little bit unripe strawberry and a little bit of peach.
Mm-hmm. I think the key to this one is don't serve it too cold.
Yeah.
Once it warmed up, it definitely
more flavor.
It got significantly better.
It was muted.
Better. Yeah.
Too muted when it was cold.
Yeah. And, you know, people tend to serve champagne, you know, screamingly ice cold. You know, and they'll spend fortunes on really expensive bottles. And I'm like, you can't taste any of it. I mean, it's literally, you're not tasting anything. It's, you might as well be drinking, you know, like seltzer. So. Well, we're going to be rating the Scharfenberger Brut Excellence Rosé, Mendocino County.
It says rose on the bottle.
Three sips.
There's no E accent mark on that.
You want to let go of that and actually read your next part?
Fine. Let me pour some more wine first. Oh, yes.
That's fine. We've got all day.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I mean, yeah, thanks, Bob. Founded in 1982 by Jean-Claude Rousseau and then president of Champagne, Louis Roederer, he selected the original 340 Anderson Valley Vineyard and winery sites to create Roederer Estate. If you're unfamiliar with Roederer, they make Cristal champagne. The vineyards were planted in 1984. The winery was built in 1986, and the first Roederer Estate non-vintage Brut Cuvée was released in 1988. Based on their belief that the estate-owned vineyards were key to ensuring the very best wine, they spent the following years patiently adding new vineyards to increase the size of their estate to 620 acres in the Anderson Valley AVA. Jean-Claude has since transferred management of the estate to his son, Frederic. All of the grapes used by the winemaker Arnaud Weirich are grown on the estate, and each year he selects a portion of the best wines for aging in large French oak casks, 1,200 to 1,800 gallons each. Aged on average for 4 years, the wines from this reserve cellar are added to the blend, creating a multi-vintage cuvée in the traditional Roederer style. So this first one is the Roederer Estate Brut Rosé, 12.5 ABV. The Estate Rosé is a blend of 56% Pinot Noir, 44% Chardonnay. For the color, the winemaker Arnaud Weirich prepares a small proportion of Pinot Noir wine with extended maceration, and that adds about 3 to 5% to the blend before secondary fermentation, imparting a subtle salmon tinge, it says here. On the cuvée, first pressing of 128 gallons per ton is used, and no first or second tail. The The fermentation takes place in high-grade stainless steel tanks at 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Zero to minimal malolactic fermentation is used in order to ensure the wines age well and retain the fresh, precise, and well-defined style that is a characteristic of the Roederer Estate wines. And that's a great PR blurb that actually matches reality, which is fantastic. Because there is zero malolactic here. This isn't the Roederer Estate. Just if you bought the French wine and you bought the American Roederer Estate stuff, you'll see they're very similar. Frankly, the dirty little secret is the American stuff is half the price and better than the French. This is the way to go. Unless you're going to Cristal, but now you're $300 a bottle, right? So this is around the $20 range, $25 range. Back in the day, I had it on sale for 18 bucks. Crazy prices. It's a pale pink. It just verges on salmon, so that's a good
note. That's a rosé. The rosé is a little bit more than the white Roederer Estate.
Yeah, the rosé is a little bit more. It's like 25, 30.
Yeah. But the entry level white
is very 18 to 20 bucks.
And it blows all the rest of them away.
Oh, yeah. Roederer Estate, I cannot say enough about their wines. They do a great job in Anderson Valley. And frankly, it's half the price of the French stuff. That's what you should be getting.
All day rosé means ramen all week.
So,
okay.
On the nose, fresh red apples, strawberries, and a little bit of like raspberry. On the palate, let's see. This has a lot more mousse than the first two champagnes. The beautiful bubble. Apple and peach. A little bit of baking spice. I don't know if that's clove or what it is, but it's very nice. And the finish is medium long. This wine has gotten better. It's been sitting. I just poured some fresh from the bottle here. Just make sure you have the right temperature. Serving champagne too cold does it a disservice. Justin?
So, I got on the nose. It was creamy. Broccoli? Sarah?
Cream of broccoli.
Broccoli?
Cream
of
broccoli.
Chopping broccoli. No. Creamy, light fruit, buttercream on the nose. The palate was bold, and the finish was long and strong. I like this.
Laurie, let's do it.
I thought it was an apple bomb. I got a lot of overwhelming red apple up front. I thought
the red berries come in, though. They come in.
Yeah, they come in. I mean, it's improved with some air and some time in the bottle. I would say that it's an exceedingly, like the other one, relatively pale, very pale pink or rosé color, although you can't drink the color, but it's a little hard to discern that it's a rosé. And I thought it was a nice wine, but for me, it was just a little too fruity, a little too apple-y, a little hint of strawberry there.
People are looking for fruitier wines in rosé, though. People expect that.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think you're right to a degree.
And I think you need to see an ophthalmologist if you think that's not very pale. There is pink. That's definitely pink, dude.
But only when you compare. You're looking at
two different rosés together compared to the first one.
Yeah, it's pinker than the first one, but the first rosé was very pale.
Now, I think it's lovely. It's got, it is an apple bomb, but it's got, it's got some red berries to it. It's definitely opened up once it warmed up a bit.
Nobody else got a hint of peach?
A little bit of white peach, yeah.
It's always the white peaches with you, Nazi.
Yeah. Well, what can I tell you? Putin's coming after me now. So it's, you know, a lovely, lovely rosé, especially for the money. You know, it's hard to beat anything from Roederer. So we're going to be rating the Roederer Estate Brut Rosé. Three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to move on to our next wine. Let me grab that. So it's the Roederer Estate L'Hermitage Brut 2015, 12.5% ABV. L'Hermitage Roederer Estate Special Tête de Cuvée is a sparkling wine made
tête
only.
Tête de Cuvée.
You want me to go back a paragraph?
You said cuvée. It just hurt my ears.
Do you want me to go back and correct some of your French there, Sporto? Yeah, okay.
I don't speak French.
Yeah, you barely speak English.
Why you know the word cuvée?
It's a sparkling wine made only in exceptional years from pre-selected estate-grown grapes. The wine for the dosages added to the L'Hermitage 2015 was a 2015 wine aged for 6 years in a French oak cask. Following disgorgement, it was aged an additional 6 months on the cork prior to release. The 2015 vintage was at the end of the 2013-2015 drought. Winter was mild and bud break was very early in February, bloom in early May. And it was windy and cool in June, and then it got very hot. This is all pushing for an early harvest starting in August, August 7th, actually.
That's a super early harvest.
So the color, beautiful straw gold. And on the nose, hazelnuts, a little bit of straw. A little bit of white stone fruit, white peach, and on the palate, on the palate, it's got some white peach, it's got some pear, a little bit of tart green apple on the tip of the tongue and on the sides. It's got a really nice mouthfeel to it. Got a really nice creaminess. Pretty good finish as well. Finish goes on. Excellent wine. Excellent wine. What did you think, Justin?
I really enjoyed this. I got a lot of the same notes that you did. The thing that stands out for me is the finish, that it's dry, but not too dry. You could have this with like grapefruits and like fragrant cheeses, and it would cut them nicely.
I don't like champagne with cheese. Cheese deadens your palate. I think you need a bolder red wine. And frankly, this is not champagne, it's American sparkling wine, but when I talked to some champagne specialists recently.
You know, champagne is not champagne unless it comes from the province of Champagne. I learned that in bartending school.
That's right. Anyway.
Perfect.
I love it.
hard not follow that one up, isn't it, smart guy?
I made the mistake of having some brie one day. We were having a wine tasting. I made the mistake of having some brie and it followed with some champagne. Made all the champagne taste bitter. They don't serve champagne. You don't serve champagne with cheese unless you have it with the special cheese they make in the Champagne region, which is tiny production. It's just hard to pair champagne with cheese.
Pretty much everything he tastes is bitter. But that's just, you know, the bile rising in him.
Not anymore. They took my gallbladder out. Cholecystectomy for the win, baby. Anyway, the The wine was great, but I feel like you can't do cheese with this, man. Don't do cheese. Stop it. Stop it.
Go ahead. Okay.
I had to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
You're done?
I was done.
What'd you think, Maury?
I like this wine. I think this wine is delicious. I think it's extremely well made, and I would agree that you've got to spend a lot of money to do better than the Roeder Estate sparkling wines. I, in fact, did a blind tasting a number of years back where we compared the Hermitage, the Roeder Estate entry level, as well as the Cristal and the entry level French Champagne, and we did it all blind. And honestly, on that particular day, at that particular moement, the Ordinary Roeder Estate won.
No way.
Beat them all. But they were, none of them were rosés. These were all
the regular. Yeah, the Brut.
And
I've had the last.
For the money, you can't beat it.
The last three vintages of Cristal, over the top stunning. I used to not like Cristal.
Well, this is going back more than 5 years ago. Yeah.
But the last three vintages.
I have not had the last few vintages, but.
It's important to note.
I had to pay for them.
That Roeder Estate and Scherfenberger are, you know, the same people. It's, yes. They're affiliated companies at this point.
They're sister wineries.
Yeah. And that, you know, you can definitely tell the house style.
Yeah, there's zero malolactic fermentation.
It's got real estate on the mind.
So you've got all that malic acid. That's where all these green apple notes are coming from. So yeah, it's beautiful.
Not true.
What's not true?
Scherfenberger 80% undergoes malolactic fermentation.
I thought they do zero.
No. Roeder, but not Scherfenberger.
Oh, okay.
So. Glad he's listening so close.
So this was a great wine. I love the palate. I love the mouthfeel. I love the creaminess. I like the finish. I definitely got a lot of yeasty and bready notes on the nose. And I personally like that in champagne. I think some people like their champagne a little more acidic, a little brighter. But I thought this was beautiful.
I don't think this was as yeasty and bready as I like, though. This is more on the bright side. Great acidity. No?
Mm. We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up discussing the Roeder Estate L'Hermitage Brut 2015. I think we're done going around that one, so we're going to be rating that one a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's move on to our next one, which is Champagne Telmont Reserve Brut. It's 12% ABV. Champagne Telmont can trace its origins back to 1912 when Henri L'Hopital to create his own champagne house under his name. In 1937, his son André became cellar master following the death of his father. After several years off for World War II, André returned to Champagne to develop his father's legacy and named the brand Champagne de Telmont, after the name of one of his best vineyard plots. In 1983, André's son Serge takes over Champagne de Telmont, where he continues his father's legacy and serves as deputy mayor and mayor of Damery for 18 years. But he didn't have a problem pulling a permit. So, you know, we want to push this wall out and do a little bit of work. Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. In 1999, Serge hands over the house to his children, Bertrand and Pascal, who carry on their family's values with an even deeper care for their land. In 2017, they received the first organic certification for certain sections of the house's vineyard. Basically, it took them 10 years to get to that point.
In 2021, Telmont launched its first certified organic cuvée, Réserve de la Terre, with the goal of 100% of Telmont's estate wines being certified organic by 2025. In 2020, Rémy Cointreau became the majority shareholder of Telmont, with Bertrand L'Hôpital remaining as the cellar master and head of viticulture. And in 2022, Leonardo DiCaprio invested as a minority shareholder in Telmont Champagne House. So apparently every movie star out there is buying a piece of France at this
point. I just watched Wolf of Wall Street on HBO the other night because nobody's home besides me right now.
So you're saying this tastes like...
This tastes like...
Old Quaaludes?
Tuckers and Blow?
Yeah. So Champagne Telmont Brut Reserve is the result of a marriage of three great varieties, 43% Chardonnay, 37% Meunier, and 20% Pinot Noir. And is a blend of seven distinct years, made in stainless steel with malolactic fermentation, aged for 3 years, bottled in April 2018, and degorged in 2021. The color is basically like a pale sunshiny gold.
They call it straw.
No, it's lighter than straw. On the nose, it's got a really nice, crisp yeastiness to it. A little bit of stone fruit. A little bit of sweetness.
You don't get cut grass? I get cut grass.
A little bit of hay. On the palate, very crisp, very clean. It's got a nice aftertaste to it. Good acidity. Yeah, overall, very nice. What did you think, Justin?
I got a musty note on the nose, on the palate. I got some nice fruit. It was clean. A little bit of rose petal flavor. And in the background, some cereal notes. On the finish, it was long, balanced, and pleasant.
Yeah, I definitely get the rose petal.
You get rose? Seriously have no clue what you're talking about. Where's the rose petal?
In the wine.
On the palate or the nose?
It's on the
palate.
It's not.
Back, very, very back of the palate. That sort of florally, perfumey.
It's white flowers, not rose. I get cut grass, peach and apples, a little white pepper, lemon and grapefruit, a little like yellow grapefruit on the palate. It's actually, there's a little bit of spice. I don't know what it is. It's quite good. I love this aftertaste. It just goes on and on. Yeah,
it's got a great finish.
A little baking soda on there. Not in a bad way.
More?
You know, I agree with Harm. As much as I hate to admit it, I think you got it spot on. I think the greatest asset to this wine is its nice, beautiful finish. I think it's, but it drinks nicely. It's you know, it's balanced. It's beautiful. It's enjoyable. I agree with everything you said. I think you hit it. You nailed it.
It says they've got malolactic fermentation, but I'm not getting a butteriness to it. It's no. Not creamy, but just enough for the mouthfeel. Just softer mouthfeel. Yeah. To balance that acid out. Mm-hmm. But there's such high acidity, it works.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
I think they put together a really quality product here. It's the front of the palate's very, very crisp and very clean, but the back of the palate just goes on and on and on.
And they've got this, I want to talk about the bottle for a second here. They've got this label that has every geeky note on the front. It has the assemblage on it. It has the date it was harvested. It has the disgorgement date, the temperature, the time in the caves. Dosage is 6.7 grams per liter. It has the whole cépage on here, 43% Chardonnay, 37% Meunier, 20% Pinot Noir, vinification classique, fermentation, malolactic. It's all on here. The front of their label looks like the back of somebody else's label. It's just, it's not pretty, but it's informative.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. And that I like about it. I love it when somebody gives you that much information, you know, rather than just, you know, a name and a fancy script and some flowers and picture of a grape or something. All it's right. nice for, when they give you the info. So
for people that know nothing about wine, like me, what's dosage?
Dosage is the amount of sugar they add.
Oh, okay.
6.7 grams per liter. there on this one, which would make it squarely brute.
Yep. All right, so we're going to be rating the Champagne Tillmont Reserve Brut forceps.
That's classified.
We're moving on to our next winery, so we're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Thank you, Bob. En Route Winery was established in 2007 by the partners of Napa Valley's Farniente. Their mission brought them to the Russian River Valley, enveloped in fog, where wet winters and spring give way to moderate summers. These slow, consistent growing conditions allow them to shepherd every step of the vinification process. Our first wine is the En Route Russian River Brumaire Chardonnay 2019, 14.5% ABV. While Pinot Noir brought them to Russian River Valley, the region's climate is equally ideal for Chardonnay. En Route Chardonnay Brumaire is named for the morning fog that famously cloaks the Russian River Valley, which creates the perfect climate to nurture their fruit to ideal ripeness. So, this is a really lovely wine. It's a pale straw color on the nose, lots of lemon, definitely a little bit of a floral note and a little bit of vanilla as well as citrus zest. It's done beautiful things now that it's warmed up. It's nice on the palate.
The lemon is going pop. Yeah,
now the lemon is popping.
That it's sat out for a while.
There's still stone fruit, layers of citrus and minerality. The
vanilla don't discount the vanilla here. That sweetness is there.
No, yeah. The vanilla doesn't go away. It's actually gotten a little bit better. I thought this was fairly ordinary when it came out of the bottle, but it really improved quite a bit with some air and some time in the glass. And the finish was medium. I think this is a lovely wine. It's well made. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Justin?
This really opened up with time. The palate, it's really creamy. A lot of great fruit flavors in it. I don't know what I would pair it with, but even on its own, it's delicious. And the finish is just silky smooth. It's just lovely.
I do this with lobster.
Yeah.
In fact, where is my lobster and drawn butter, Bob? You invite us over to do a wine show and there's no lobster and brawn butter? What's
not,
going on?
It's not at the restaurant. You haven't paid for it yet.
Wow. Yeah, this wine just really opened up. Let it breathe. Everything they said was right. It's not quite a butter bomb, but the mallow lactic acid is there. It's just buttery and creamy.
There's just enough the butter there to give you the flavor, but it's not, you know, over the top like some of them these days can be. It's really well done. I mean, the nose since we've sat here has increased tenfold. I mean, that beautiful lemon, like a lemon. It's not just straight lemon.
Lemon,
it's like
vanilla, and flowers.
It's like a lemon curd, like a pastry lemon curd.
Yeah,
it is on the nose.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's.
I can smell the puff pastry. Lovely.
Yeah,
this is it. I'm hungry now, man. I'm hungry.
It's just got this.
I need some lemon curd and some lobster.
It's got just enough of the butter to it, and it's just got a slight little bit of oat to it. Hmm.
They didn't talk about the oak regimen on this one, did they? I'm guessing mostly French oak.
I would guess.
I'll bet it's second fill French oak. They're using the first fill for their
There's a lot of vanilla. Maybe there's some American oak because there's a lot of vanilla here. I don't know. So good.
But again, not over oaked. I think it has, you know, I think it was done tastefully and in a nuanced and finesseful way.
Yeah. And again, another one that when we first brought it out was chilled.
It was closed.
And very, very close. Tight. And now that it's warmed up, I'd say don't take this anywhere near a refrigerator. Just take it off of the rack and drink it. Leave it alone. It definitely...
Give it a half hour in the fridge.
10 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, really, really well put together. So, we're going to be rating...
I'm getting green apple now, too.
We're going to be rating the En Route Russian River Brumaire Chardonnay. Well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
I'd go higher, but whatever.
Well, it was considerably lower, and then it really blossomed.
Yeah, it started out unimpressive, and now that it's just we've let it bloom in the glass, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, don't chill this. If you chill this, you're going to ruin it.
Chill it. Don't over chill it.
Yeah.
And let it breathe. I think it's a combination of air and warming up.
All right. So let's go on to our last one. Harm.
Thanks, Bob. En route Russian River Le Pommier Pinot Noir 2018, 14.5% ABV is our last wine of the evening. This expression is a blend of wines from three different vineyards. En route's Northern Spy Vineyard in the Russian River Valley, Green Valley AVA, was an abandoned apple orchard that was groomed specifically for En route. That uses Pommard 5, Mount Eden, Swan, and 2A and Dijon clones, 115 and 777, are planted in this vineyard. Their Amber Ridge Vineyard is located in the rolling terrain in the upper middle reach of the Russian River Valley and planted with Pommard 5, Calera, and Dijon 115, 667, and 777. The Manzana Vineyard in Green Valley is planted with Dijon clones, 114, 115, and Pommard 5. The color is slightly translucent ruby. I feel like this wine's just from looking at it, it's going to be over extracted because the color's a lot richer than I would expect for 100% Pinot Noir. But you smell it and you know it's 100% Pinot Noir. There is no Syrah, there's no Bernarda, there's no messing around with this. This is 100% Pinot Noir with probably a long time on the skins. Dried rose petals and berries on the nose. I love this. This is the style of Pinot Noir I like from California. It's all about that floral note. Gorgeous.
It's got a lot of perfume and rose petal on the nose. I'll give you that. I think you're spot on with that.
This is the style I like a lot. And now you talked about rose on the wine there. Mm-hmm. I taste the roses here.
It's more prominent here.
Yeah. Dark raspberries. A little bit of clove and forest floor, a little bit of mushroominess going on. Rose petals. It's silky and lovely and mouth-filling. There's spice from like clove and cinnamon coming on the palate. I love this wine, man. Bring me more.
Bob? Yeah, it's like walking into a florist shop on the nose. I mean, it's just so... so beautiful and just lightly perfumey and... rosy.
I mean, I sell a lot of Far Niente and Nickel, but I need to get some En route Pinot Noir. Yeah. I need to get this in the store. This is good.
I mean, it's very, very, it's the nose is just so pretty. It really is. And the palate, raspberries and blackberries. And again, that earthiness, that forest floor down on the bottom palate. It's got a little bit of a baking spice to it, sort of mid palate, but
good
overall,
acidity too.
Yeah, it's very well balanced.
I tasted previous vintages. I wasn't as impressed. This 2018 is so good.
Yeah, it's got a really good balance to it. I think you could let this one lay down for a little while, but it's perfectly fine right now. Well done. Definitely well done.
It really doesn't need time. I'm not sure how it'll evolve. I don't think it will hurt it.
It's going to hurt it, but that's what I'm saying. If you put it down for a year or two, I don't think it's going to hurt it at all. It may improve it, but honestly, I wouldn't wait. I'd just drink it now. it's lovely. I mean, it's a really, really pretty wine. So we're going to be rating the En route Russian River Le Pommier Pinot Noir 2018. Well-deserved. 4 sips.
That's classified.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
I'm just looking this one up because I don't sell this wine. It's pretty pricey. It's in the $60 range. So you're getting what you're paying for here. You're getting what you pay for. This is not your inexpensive grocery store Pinot Noir.
Yeah, no. A beautiful lineup today. I really thought... I enjoyed the theme, and it was nice to have a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir as some of
with the champagne or a sparkling wine too. Right,
it dovetailed nicely into the champagne lineup.
I knew we were in good shape because it's En route and that's Far Niente, and they don't make bad wine. So, anyway, well, that's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Harm.
Why are you going to me first, man? Usually, leave me for last. Oh, because I'm sitting in a different place. Bob is kind of autistic that way.
He's autistic. Means I can draw well.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another great day in the damp, dank, dark basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thanks so much. It was a fun day of wine and champagne.
If, you know, if you're not having fun and you're drinking wine, you know, and champagne, then you're doing something incredibly wrong.
I would be right. Devastated if you did not join me for at least one glass of fine champagne.
Well, this is Made Man Bob. I want to thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And thankfully, we don't have to, because
also life is good wine. Better with more cowbell.
Yeah, well.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.